Blog Talk Radio.
Latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on this 3rd of January 2018. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram account at Riddle Gerald Quinn. This game right now has no juice to it. Boston up 77-72-55. The game, again, when Isaiah Thomas is going to sit, after the performance last night against Portland, it kind of took the, took something away from this game. Really, took the juice out of this game. Let's be honest. So that kind of, Boston figured Boston probably would win this game after the advantage in opening night, home court. Cleveland coming off back to back. It had the makings of something like this. Again, game really, you're not going to learn anything from this game. It's a regular season game in early January. The narrative, listen, at this point in the NBA, you're looking for narratives. When you get into the months of January, February, early March, you are looking for narratives, whether it be All-Star, MVP, upcoming trade, team dysfunction. Right now, the narrative in this game would have been Isaiah Thomas. That narrative is on the bench. So there you go. Boston has it this way. 74-55. Boston has it this way. Midway through the third quarter, about six minutes left. So, I don't anticipate that Boston will have trouble finishing off this game. I can even see Cleveland, sitting players in the fourth quarter if it's not under 15 by the end of the third quarter. Lot to do on this busy program as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. This program is sponsored by www.websitemagazine.com. New customers get a free subscription at www.websitemagazine.com. Hopefully, if you're in the Northeast or especially in the area of the DMV, supposed to get some snow tonight. Philadelphia, Delaware, places like that are going to get hit pretty hard. D.C., it never reaches D.C. Where is D.C.? Maybe Baltimore a bit, but, Southern Maryland, D.C. rarely hits, so I don't anticipate any major, snow in our area, but who knows? We'll see what happens in regards to that. Just getting started here on this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on a Wednesday, 3rd of January. We'll be right back with today's headlines. Welcome back to this edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. That, of course, is the talented, not rapping, but the beats, the talented Craig Smith. So thanks for Mr. Smith providing some of our music, music and on the Silver Airplane Sports Podcast. Of course, he provides us with the opening that you can have heard over the past, I'd say, 3 or 4 months. So, you know, there could be a new opening on the horizon with that, beat. Again, thanks to, again, Craig Smith for providing the music. Tonight's NFL viewership down 10% across the board. You know, NBC, CBS, ESPN, and Fox, no surprise whatsoever. The thing about it is, despite this, the NFL product is still the most powerful product in all of sports, by far. So, they're just, you know, they're losing money, but it's not, it's not panic time from that standpoint. They're still far ahead of any other sports competitor. Again, this is no surprise whatsoever. If you look at the primetime shows between Monday night and Sunday night football, I think the NFL had 33 of the top 50 rated shows in general. Sunday night football was constantly number one rated show on in prime time, especially from that demographic from 18 to 49, which is a key demographic in terms of advertising. So, listen, the NFL, we know the product is not what it once was. We understand everything that transpired over the course of this particular season, but it's still a powerful product. And you know, somebody's going to pay over $2 billion in the next couple of weeks to own the Carolina Panthers. So that's the bottom line when it comes to that. UCF claiming a national championship after going 13-0 and defeating Auburn on New Year's Day. More power to them. I'll say this, and they're not the first school to claim a national championship and not be the actual national championship. It's happened all the time. It's happened over the course of the history of college football. Some of the most famous programs, Alabama, Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, USC, have claimed national championships. The problem with UCF is it's very simple. You got to play people. Look at their schedule this year. They're non-conference. You know, they're playing Maryland and Georgia Tech. Now, the Georgia Tech game was canceled because of the weather. They destroyed Maryland. Both those teams had losing records. Last year, Houston came in, coming off a 13-1 season the year before, really eyeing the national championship. They opened with Oklahoma, took them out, and they also played Louisville. Oklahoma was ranked third when Houston played Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma was ranked third. Louisville, and by course, Lamar Jackson was ranked fifth. That's the kind of schedule you have to play in the AAC. It's not a Power 5 conference. It's a conference that's a very good conference, very competitive. But remember, you're in a conference with teams like Cincinnati, Connecticut, my alma mater, of course, Temple. You have to keep that in mind. Memphis, which is a very good team, again, very good teams, but again, this is not a Power 5 conference. The rankings, the committee, college football will always be geared towards the big boys. It's just the way it is. It's the same reason why in college basketball, all the Power 5 conference take up all the at-large bids when the NCAA tournament comes around in March. That will never change, especially in college football. If you're a team like UCF, which is a very good team, has some, Florida's loaded, a hotbed of talent. You got to play people. You got to go in there. If that means going on the road and playing, USC, then so be it. Or Oklahoma, so be it. You have to play people. Listen, Florida State, not too long ago, well, 25, 30 years ago, when Bobby Bowden first took over the program, probably 40 years ago, they were not, Florida State wasn't known for football. They didn't come known to football until they had a mentality of anytime, any place. We will play you at Michigan. We're going to Notre Dame. We will risk national championships. So our Florida State lost national championships playing games on the road. They didn't have to play that game in Notre Dame in 93. Now, again, the payoff was, the game was so good and it was clear that, they were still one of the best team or one of the top two teams in the country, that they didn't pay for that loss late November or early November. But they made a reputation of going out there and playing people, and that's what you got to do when you're trying to build, when you are not a blue blood. They're not, UCF is not a blue blood. You're not Alabama. You're not USC. You're not Notre Dame. You're not Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio State. I can go on and on and on. That's how you build up your reputation. So we'll see if, you know, in the future they play people. Again, Frost is leaving, but, you know, they'll get another coach, you know, there's get somebody else in there who, you know, places like that, you can recruit. It is a fertile recruiting ground in the state of Florida. You should be able to get players. I don't care what school you are. If you're in school in Florida, you're playing in the FBS, you should be able to get players. That's all there is to it. You have Darnold and Rosen turn pro. Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold turn pro. No surprise there. You're going to see a lot of teams fall on their face in this draft, in this upcoming draft. I mean, these teams chasing these quarterbacks. I looked at a couple of projections, a couple of mock drafts. There could be as many as 5 quarterbacks going in the first round. I'm talking Darnold, Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, the kid out of Wyoming, Allen. So there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to set their franchises back chasing quarterbacks. I mean, Baker Mayfield was picked as high as, was rated as high as 5th in a mock draft. Not in terms of the draft board, in terms of teams' draft boards, but in a mock draft, which means, you know, who knows what, you know, we don't know what these teams' draft boards look like at this point, but if he's rated that high in a mock draft, he's not that far from being, he could be the top player on a team's draft board. I mean, who knows? He had to be on a couple of teams' draft boards, or even be rated that high in a mock draft. But the bottom line is, teams are going to fall on their face chasing some of these quarterbacks who are frankly just not going to be, just won't be able to, just can't play at this point. There's not a guy in this league, not a guy in this draft who is a drop dead Andrew Luck type player coming out. There's not even a guy who's even as good as Jameis Winston. Through all his trouble, through all his nonsense off the field, Jameis Winston is a talented player. If he can keep his nose clean and keep his head on straight. But, again, a lot of these teams are going to be chasing guys who just will not pan out. And what will happen is there'll be a guy in the 3rd or 4th round nobody's talking about, and that guy, you know, goes on to be a Pro Bowler or a franchise player. It happens all the time in the NFL when it comes to these quarterbacks. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. When we return, greatness is greedy and greatness is taken for granted. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers situation and that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Cleveland trying to mount somewhat of a comeback, 79-66. We'll see if it's within, you know, a couple of possessions in the 4th quarter. Boston has been firmly in control of this game coming out after halftime. Right now, again, they're up by 13, about a minute left to play in the 3rd quarter. Again, this game, to me, lost its luster when it was announced. And again, no surprise, Isaiah Thomas coming off the hip injury. Played well last night against Portland. I watched some of that. 19 minutes, 17 points, 19 minutes, shot the ball relatively well, looked at ease in that offense. They put up 127 points against a Portland team, which is couldn't guard a statue dipped in concrete. I mean, those guys play zero defense. They have a lot of talent. And they have some excellent offensive players with the backcourt and Nurkic. Those guys don't guard anyone. I mean, they don't guard anybody. Looking at the NBA right now, when we get to the Green Bay situation, you know, the NBA, you just got to be patient with the NBA because, you know, beginning of the season, Cleveland's a mess. Golden State's vulnerable. Houston's the real deal. You know, Clippers, do they miss Chris Paul? Everything now has, you know, settled in. And Golden State on top of the NBA. We know what the Eastern Conference is. It's Cleveland and a couple of teams that will, you know, fight and claw, whether it's Boston, Toronto. Wizards seem like they're getting their act together. Got a win tonight, easy win tonight. So we know what the NBA stands as far as pecking order. There are basically three questions going into the NBA right now that should keep you somewhat interested. If the January dog days are getting to you, and they shouldn't be because there's a great game on every night. I mean, you can go, you have league pass. This is the time to have the league pass. NFL is going to start to calm down with the playoffs. I would say about that weekend after the conference championships will be the time to get the league pass. To teams get the league pass. You still have the NFL. Still going to have the NFL for the next couple of weeks, 2 weeks on Saturday and Sunday. So, and for the next 3 weeks, you know, on a Sunday. So, you can hold off on, if you want to hold off on the league pass, you can still hold off on that for at least basically for the month of January. But again, the NBA has three questions. Number one, what move is Cleveland going to make to get closer to Golden State? Even with a healthy Isaiah Thomas, when everybody's back, that they are still a player, a major player away. DeMarcus Cousins could be on the block. Paul George possibly looking less and less likely as Oklahoma City has kind of stabilized things over the course of the last couple of weeks. So that's one question. Second question is the San Antonio Spurs. Now, coming into tonight, they were 26-12. They lost to the Sixers. They didn't play anybody. Nobody played from San Antonio. They might as well have had their G League team playing this particular game. But they're playing well right now, 26-13. One of the top five records in the league. Kawhi Leonard starting to get sea legs under him. Had 25 last night against the Knicks in a victory. So he's going to have a month where he looks like the best player in the NBA. That's coming, man. Trust me. That's coming probably be by middle of January, early February. And that will, you know, that will have them right where you expect them to be. And that's right next to the Golden State Warriors as probably the second team in contention overall in the league that can compete with Golden State. Does San Antonio have a rabbit? You know, rabbit, can they pull a rabbit out their hats with a move? They don't have a lot of trade assets. Let's be honest, they're not trading LaMarcus Aldridge. Aldridge is having a great year. He's really held them together with the Kawhi Leonard injury and with Tony Parker getting hurt at the beginning of the season. So, what move will they make? What move can they possibly make? They, again, as we stand right here on January 3rd, the San Antonio Spurs are, to me, the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors. Not Houston, not Oklahoma City, not Cleveland. Not Boston, the San Antonio Spurs. And the third question is, and this is one a little personal, are the Lakers going to be patient with Luke Walton? Is Luke Walton going to make it through the year? Lakers are 11-25. Now, Ball has been hurt the last four or five games. That certainly hasn't helped. But the bottom line is, you know, they haven't even been competitive in these last five or six games. In these last five or six games, even when they were losing early on, they were competitive. They were losing overtime games. They were losing close games. Now these games, you know, they're getting blown out. With Magic Johnson in particular, because he's going to be on, you know, forget about Rob Pelinka for a second. But Magic Johnson's going to be the one making that decision whether or not Luke Walton will stay with the team, will be coaching the team throughout the course of the year. Forget about next year, but just finishing the year. Remember, the Lakers need to finish with the number one pick in order to keep their draft pick. They fall below number one, that draft 2-5 will go to the Boston Celtics. So keep that in mind in regards of the NBA. Again, it's way too early to be talking MVPs. Is that like the next thing you want to focus on is these all-star rosters. This year with the format being switched up, players basically picking, taking it back to the playground in terms of players picking players having captains and basically scrapping West versus East, but players being able to pick their own players. So we'll see we'll see what happens with that as the All-Star returns start to come in. I think the first returns will be coming in around Martin Luther King's birthday, which is 15th, 16th, around that time. So we'll see how that voting takes place. 347-215-6180 is your call number on the Space Edition of George Oakland Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. On top of Cleveland, just started the fourth quarter, under 11 minute mark. Again, Boston looks like it's going to cruise to win this game. A game that I'm going to say counts for something in terms of tiebreakers if both teams finish. Again, I don't think Cleveland will be pressing for the tie record. I mean, they have too many. To the top record in the East. They don't need home court. They've proven that they can win without home court. As long as they keep LeBron James upright, they will be the favorites in the Eastern Conference. But again, if you're Cleveland, you're playing for something, you're not even thinking about the Eastern Conference. There's one team that you are focusing on, and we know who that is. So we'll see what Cleveland does as we near the trade deadline. So Ted Thompson, the former general manager of the Green Bay Packers, was basically let go on Monday. It's one of those, you can either step aside gracefully or we'll just outright fire you. This is one of those situations. And Thompson, being who he is, and not wanting to taking pride in being a longtime Green Bay Packer, been with the organization for a long time, was in that position as general manager since 2005, decided to basically, become the, a super scout and step aside for the next general manager, whoever that may be. I still haven't heard a logical, make sense explanation on why he was fired, or in essence, asked to step down. I really haven't. I've heard things like, the roster, outside of Aaron Rodgers wasn't any good. They weren't hitting on draft picks. They were quiet in free agency, so on and so on. I've heard that, these are Aaron Rodgers' prime years. You can't waste them. And, what happened after Aaron Rodgers got hurt? So I'm listening to this stuff. I'm saying, well, hold on here. What was their record with Aaron Rodgers versus their record without Aaron Rodgers? They were 4-2 with Aaron Rodgers, 4-1 before he got hurt. They were, this is during the time he was hurt. I'm not even counting the last two games in which they lost. They were 3-5 without him when the games mattered. So, as a franchise, they did their jobs by, when he got hurt, and I said it on this program, if they are in playoff contention, Aaron Rodgers will return to the Packers this year. They were in playoff contention, and he returned, and they lost a tough game to Carolina in Week 15. But again, all I heard is, the only thing I've been hearing is how bad the roster is. I was like, well, if the roster is so bad, then why didn't the team just completely fall apart? instead of being 7-6 when Aaron Rodgers came back, why were they not, you know, 4-9 or 5-8? You know, I don't want to hear about the teams that they played. Well, you know, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Chicago. Okay, Carolina lost to Chicago. New Orleans lost to Tampa Bay this past week. Those are still NFL teams. Cleveland, well, Cleveland's Cleveland. I mean, again, you look at the tenure of Ted Thompson, and it's pretty remarkable when you list the things that he was able to do there. He takes over in 2005. The franchise is clearly in transition. Favre is aging. Okay. The coaching situation is unstable. He brings in McCarthy. McCarthy's still there. He drafts Aaron Rodgers 24th. 23 teams passed up on Aaron Rodgers. And that's the thing about it. You cannot, when you're talking about Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, there's no separating Ted Thompson from Aaron Rodgers. Ted Thompson drafted Aaron Rodgers. So I don't want to hear about, well, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, who drafted Aaron Rodgers? That's the bottom line. He didn't inherit Aaron Rodgers. He brought in Aaron Rodgers. And again, 23 other teams passed up on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers came to the league, did not come in the league highly touted as a second coming of this next great quarterback. Not in the least bit. No one knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be this good. Was going to be an all-time great. People said, okay, possibly, possible starter, wait his turn. I mean, there were people grumbling. Think about this. 2007, he puts, he makes a decision and says, you know what, Brett, enough of this, enough of this waffling. Go do what you. It's been great. We're moving in a different direction. We have our quarterback. You know, see you later. There were Packer fans that were ready, jumping off bridges, despite the fact that Brett Favre was clearly in the wrong with how he handled that situation when he left Green Bay, or when Green Bay, when Green Bay decided that, enough's enough. You're either with us or you're not. It was Thompson that made that move to move on to Aaron Rodgers. So people have, people have short memories when it comes to stuff like that. Again, making the playoffs in the NFL is not easy. It's not the NHL. This is not the NBA. Okay, it is hard to make the playoffs. You're talking about going to the playoffs 8 straight years. 8 straight years Green Bay went to the playoffs. That's hard. They won a playoff game 3 straight years. They won a playoff game. They won the NFC Championship last year. 2 years ago, they were in the NFC. They were 3 years ago, they were in the NFC Championship. And again, I think that, I guess being a Washington fan and, rooting for a team that doesn't struggle to, finish 500, struggles to make the playoffs. I guess I appreciate it more than the people that are complaining about Ted Thompson. Well, how would you like to be Buffalo? Ted had a playoff appearance since 1999. You look at Green Bay. You look at the tenure that Thompson's had. There's really only one year where I thought that they were the best team in football. Now again, the 2011 year, they go 15-1. They lost to the Giants. Giants got hot. It was just weird stuff going on with the coaches. The offensive coordinator lost his son. So a lot went into that game. Again, Giants got hot. They won the Super Bowl. That was one of those years where that was just like, you want to call that a wasted year per se. I didn't think Green that there was such thing as a vulnerable 15-1 team. They were a vulnerable 15-1 team that year. But again, they were 15-1. So, you want to kill Thompson for not bringing in free agents after 2010 and going 15-1. 2014 was the year I thought they were the best team in the NFL, but it still was debatable. between them, Seattle, and New England, I thought they were the best team. And of course, they blew that game against Seattle with the conference championship, 16-0. Rodgers was banged up, couldn't move, but he played. So that's not an excuse. But the bottom line is, again, they were right there. It's something to be said about consistently getting right there. You know, Jack Nicklaus, the great Hall of Fame golfer, has 18 majors. But you know what he also has? 19 second-place finishes. Something to be putting yourself in a position to win week, you know, week in, week out, year in, and year out. Other than New England, there has not been a more consistent franchise over the last decade than the Green Bay Packers. And again, they were 4-1 before your franchise, the best player in the league, gets hurt. It's not like a Tom Coughlin situation where you feel like you have to pay for Super Bowl wins in the past with four straight playoff appearances, four straight non-playoff seasons. No, that wasn't the case at all. This team came off a conference, going to a conference championship, was 4-1 before Rodgers got hurt, and still was in a position to make the playoffs in week 15 when he came back. So again, to me, there's more stuff is going to come out. This is going to come out, but there's more going on in that organization. And now you hear the reports that if Russ Ball is hired, a lot of guys that were groomed under Thompson are going to leave. So they could possibly lose a lot of their top general manager prospects, a lot of some of their top scouts. Again, people want to compare them to New England. New England has won five Super Bowls in the last, 17 years, 16 years. You can't compare anybody to New England. You just can't. And let's be honest, New England has had the luxury of having a quarterback basically take, in essence, a pay cut in regards to play below market value. Tom Brady, signed a signing bonus for $28 million. $28 million. Aaron Rodgers' signing bonus, which was signed years earlier, was for $33 million. That $5 million makes a lot of difference when you're going out there trying to sign players, free agents, or just trying to resign your own key backups and have depth at certain positions. It makes a big difference. You got to pay Rodgers. You have to pay Rodgers. You have to pay Breeze. You have to pay your franchise quarterback. You have to give them, everything they want. Because they'll go to another team. That's what's happening with Seattle now. Once Russell Wilson was off that rookie contract and they had to pay him, they're going to start to lose players. They're not going to be as deep. They're going to have to draft better and be smarter in terms of some of their free agent signings. But that is a good problem to have in the NFL. You want that problem. So again, this situation again. I'm all for change when it has to be. I don't think you should be paying for past glory, or you should feel, only as good as your last year or your last couple of years in the NFL. We know how quickly things can change in this league. But, if you got a guy who's one of the crown jewels in terms of front office personnel and who has been as good as there is in the past decade, I think you might think about hanging on to that guy. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we're going to do some new segment. We'll take some of your questions. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Chill Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. Before I get to your question, a couple one thing about the recent Hall of Fame, recent NFL Hall of Fame finalists. The NFL, the problem with the NFL when it comes to this is they just have too many players. There are too many guys. So, you're going to leave out guys who are Hall of Fame worthy. It happens every single year. I don't know what the NFL can do to fix this. I don't know if they can, make the ceremony longer. But, you're going to have guys who are legit Hall of Famers get left out. Now, the question this year, I don't care about, there are three names that I care about, right? Three names that I care about. Dawkins should get in. Ray Lewis should be automatic. As a Washington football fan, I hope Jacoby does get in. I don't know if he will. I don't think Everson Walls will. So those are some of the other guys. Some of the other guys of note. Isaac Bruce, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens. We know the NFL has had a history of making receivers wait their turn. Which one of those guys, in particular Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, which one of those guys are they going to make wait? This is Moss's first year of induction, first year of eligibility. He goes immediately right to finalist status. Again, not the most popular guy in the league, and this is the same guy that scored an official with a water bottle in the playoff game. This is the same guy who said, straight cash on me, and had some other expletives on camera that I won't repeat. But not the most well-liked guy over the course in the media, but he looks like a choir boy compared to the one Terrell Owens and what the media thinks about Terrell Owens. They detest Terrell Owens. So again, you can have a situation. Don't be surprised. You have a situation where Isaac Bruce is a lone receiver that gets selected. He has Hall of Fame credentials. 91 touchdowns, 15,000 yards. He's Hall of Fame worthy. He was a number one receiver on the team that won a Super Bowl. I would not surprise me in the least bit if Isaac Bruce gets denied this time around over Moss and Owens when it comes to the Hall of Fame voting. So new segments of the program, and I'm happy to bring it to you. Questions from my audience. I will not announce your names. I will just say where you're from. First question from our value listener. That's why I call you a value listener. We do value the time you spend on listening to the program, whether it's live or whether it's on demand. This listener is from Los Angeles. Which team will give the Eagles the toughest matchup in the divisional round? That's the question. I would say, now they can't play the Rams because the Rams, of course, are too high of a seed at number three, so they're not going to play. They're not eligible to play them. So you have Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, and I would say right now, I would say Atlanta. Carolina's offense is a joke. They're struggling to crack 250 yards. Okay, of offense. I can't take that. You just can't take that. I know they have Super Bowl pedigree with the quarterback. I know their defense is very good, but their offense is terrible right now. I cannot trust their offense on the road at all. And I don't like how Carolina entered the playoffs, to be honest with you. New Orleans, again, is a dome team. And again, if this weather's cold, that will neutralize. I understand this is a different type of New Orleans team. New Orleans team as far as how they're built with the running game. But I don't think that they are hard to defend. They throw a lot of these screen passes. They throw more screen passes than any team in the league, and rightfully so. They have Kamara who can turn a 5-yard screen pass into an 8-yard touchdown. So I understand it, but I think that not challenging teams down the field will take advantage. Could bite them in terms of them advancing. I think Atlanta is a team that the Eagles probably don't want to see. They have a legit pass rush. You know, regardless of how up and down Matt Ryan has been, he's still, you know, been to a couple of NFC championships, been to a couple of conference championships, been to a Super Bowl, played well in that Super Bowl, despite the loss. That is a team, a team like Atlanta is built for the playoffs. You know, kind of, went through the motions in the regular season, had some problems with the offensive coordinator, was never on the same page with the team. That's a team that if I'm Philadelphia, that would make me nervous out of those three particular matchups. Value listener from Florida wants to know, what should the Seattle Seahawks do in the offseason? Interesting question. First of all, we're assuming that as Boston now has an 18-point lead, about 2.5 minutes left. I told you this game. It's not hard for me to read the tea leaves on how a game's going to go. This game had no juice whatsoever. Cleveland, once they got down double digits in the third quarter, basically just lost interest. Like, all right, let's get out of here, look our wounds, and keep it moving. So, not surprised whatsoever about this particular result. Seattle has to hit on the draft. They've gotten to a point where some of those guys are starting to age. Earl Thomas was standing. He still is in his prime, but Michael Bennett, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, those guys are getting older. You're not going to be able to keep all those guys on defense. Snyder, who knows? Snyder could be the next general manager of the Green Bay Packers. That's a question mark. Is he going to be making those decisions? Let's assume that he is. They're going to have to hit on this draft. Again, all it takes is one draft for you to be, you're going to be back in the mix. We saw what happened with New Orleans. You hit on a couple of draft picks, and you're right back there. I don't, as far as free agency goes, they don't have a lot of cap space. I can check here real quick how much cap space Seattle will have. This year they don't have. I'm with the Russell Wilson contract. Seattle will have basically next to nothing. They're gonna have $1.8 million. That's nothing. Gonna use that to resign. Some key backups. You're not getting a prime free agent. That's gonna put you over the top for that amount of money. Third question, real quick. So Seattle's gonna have to draft well. I'm going to have to draft well and start developing some of these draft picks that they've had in the past couple of years, which have so far have yet to pan out. They're going to, first of all, find a running back. That's number one. They have a running back. I would draft a running back. I might draft a running back in the first round, to be honest with you. At the latest, the second round. They have to draft a running back in the first two rounds. This listener is from Philly. Can anyone challenge New England and Pittsburgh in the AFC? Short answer, no. No. I don't trust any of those teams. I understand Kansas City was playing better down the stretch. I thought the team that had the best personnel as far as talent goes, but you can't trust them. And that showed in the Kansas City game a couple weeks ago with San Diego. I thought San Diego had the pass rush, had the quarterback running game, had some of Keenan Allen was playing as well as any wide receiver down the street. It was a team that could possibly challenge Pittsburgh or New England. I don't see that. Jacksonville, to me, was exposed down the stretch. No playoff experience. Again, Kansas City, Tennessee, and Buffalo are just happy to be there. There's nothing in the AFC right now. I would be the sort of shock man in the world, had the Pittsburgh Steelers and facing off for a second straight year in the AFC Championship. So, thanks for the questions. We'll look forward to doing that over the course of the next part of the future podcast. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks to my Facebook audience. Again, this program was sponsored by www.websitemagazine.com. New customers get earning free subscription, so check that out. I will see you next time. Have a great evening.
corruption is great and commonplace. You see, guess it made them anyways have abuse. Shit, I know model citizens that ain't squeaky clean. You got dirty politicians, dirty judges, and dirty cops. Everyone's on the take, the hood's filled with dirty blocks.